I couldn't let go of a passing moment gone. Alright, so it's recording. And alright, so I guess I'll just start off with before this you were doing Wax Swing, right?
Yes.
And then you just recently stopped doing that to do the solo thing. So what made you decide to do a solo record instead of anything with Wax Swing?
Well, I haven't really been active with Wax Swing other than like one show a year for like the last 3 years. So we stopped recording records quite a while ago, and haven't really focused on that project for a long time. But in all the while that I was focused on Waxwing, I was doing was recording and releasing under my name as well. So this is my fourth solo album, and so I guess I never really was focused on Waxwing haven't been for quite a while, so it's not a big transition at this point. But we just decided to, do a couple last shows and in the band. We just put together a couple benefit shows here in Seattle, and it was really cool. It was a good experience.
Right on. And then how's your approach different, like as far as when you were writing with Waxwing and then compared to when you're doing something solo?
I haven't done any Waxwing writing in so many years. I was a younger, dumber man when I was doing it. I think it was, it was a lot different. I mean, that stuff was a lot more, I don't know. You're writing in conjunction with a band, and it's a loud rock band. My songwriting now has just changed so much. It's like, for the solo stuff, I'm completely in control of it, and I like to think that I've grown up a lot as a songwriter, and I can really hone in on what I'm trying to do with an idea or what I'm trying to create, and get somewhere with it quicker than I did before. But yeah. I don't know if I answered your question anywhere in there.
No, that works. So when did you start on this new album? And then did everything that you wrote for the album, did it all end up on there, or did you have stuff left over?
There is some stuff left over. I wrote a bunch of stuff for this record. I recorded it over a 2 year period, and which is a long time for me. I used to kind of put records out at a really, really quick pace. I was, doing a Waxwing record and a Rocky record at least, per year. But I decided that I wanted to spend more time on this one. I completed one version of it that was going to be released, and I decided to not to do it. And then, spent about a whole other year rewriting, re-recording, recording new songs, and then just kind of reworking the record. There's some stuff that's left over. I think there's like maybe five other tracks that that aren't going to be used, or B-sides, I guess, aren't going to be part of the record.
And then do you have any like personal favorites as far as recording that for this album, or even just personal favorites that of your own just to listen to?
I think I really like Portland Is Leaving, Nice Disguise is one of my favorites on this record, because I got the chance to work with Phil Wandisher, which was really amazing. He used to play guitar in that band Whiskey Town.
Oh, right on.
And now he plays with Jesse Sykes and the Sweet Grafter, who's another Barsoop band out of Seattle. I met Phil Chris Walla from Death Cab when he recorded my last record, and then was lucky enough to have him come in and do some guitar stuff on this record. So I think probably, just those first few tracks on Makers are my favorites right now. But but overall, I'm really happy with the sound of the record, you know, from a production standpoint. Like, that was another reason why I spent as much time as I did, because we really took our time to get, you know, every guitar track, every you know, vocal take and everything, to get just how I wanted it, which I've never done that in the past. So it's been kind of like a rush just to, oh, we've got this much money, oh, let's make the record in 2 weeks at the studio, oh, we're done. You know, we took a different approach and did it at my buddy Casey's house, and did all the tracking there, and then went into a studio to do the final mixes, you know, in a nice, with a nice board and that.
Right on. And how did you get everybody who played on the album, how did you get everybody together? Was it people you've worked with before, or is it just people you already knew?
You know, the Phil, or Casey, rather, who is Casey Faubert, he's the main guy that helped me, you know, engineer it and produce it. He is just a buddy of mine. He worked a little bit on, he played some drums and helped out a little bit on Suicide Medicine, my last record.
Yeah.
So I worked with him on that, just knew him from around town, and you know, just really liked the stuff that he was doing, and decided to do it with him at his place, and then it all just kind of came together from there. Like, I got the singer of his band, did some backup vocals, this guy Christian Wargo. They're going to be playing at South by Southwest as well.
Right on.
Crystal Skulls, have you heard of them?
I've heard the name before, but I don't think I've heard any music from them.
Yeah, they're on Suicide Squeeze. So, yeah, they're all buddies of mine. And so, you know, it was just kind of who was around the house. James McAllister, who played drums on some stuff, and did percussion. He's the drummer. He tours with Sufjan.
All right.
And I think he's going to be playing at Headphones, or at South by Southwest with Headphones.
Oh, right on.
Bazan's project. And then, you know, my brother Cody, obviously, got him to come in and do a song with me, so.
Right on. That's cool. And then, do you have any plans as far as touring for this album?
I do. Going down the West Coast with Minus the Bear in March.
Oh, right on.
And that's how I'm getting over there to South by Southwest. And then from there, I'm picking up with Damian Girardo, and we're going to go do, I think, a big... It hasn't been decided yet, but I know we're going to do, like, a big chunk of the rest of the country.
Hmm. And then
So that should be really cool. I'm looking forward to both of those tours.
Yeah.
Beyond that, I mean, and just to finish answering your question, I'm going to do as much as I can this year. I'm probably not going to do quite as much as I did in the past, but, you know, I'm definitely going to hit the U.S. a couple times.
Right on. Is touring something you particularly like doing, or do you think it's, like, useful these days when there's so much, like, downloading and, you know, more kids, like, listen to stuff as far as internet and don't really seem to go out as much? Do you think it's useful to still put together a big tour?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think it's very useful. I think it's the only way that you're ever really going to reach an audience and connect with them.
Yeah.
You know, because people, you know, they like to go listen to music on the internet or whatever, but I think, you know, when people really get affected by music, it's because they went, you know, at least for me, whenever I went and saw the band, and then, you know, and the performance was good, and you were touched and moved by whatever you saw, then you treat the records a little bit differently. I mean, isn't that way for you too?
Yeah, totally. I love going to live shows, but, you know, some people, it just seems like some bands I hear about, and they just, like, you know, it's so expensive to tour nowadays, and they're just, you know, they kind of doubt, like, you know, going out there as long as they would want to, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I don't plan to be out quite as much as maybe I did a couple years ago. It is, and once you've done it for a while too, I mean, you see it's not as, maybe not as glorious as you thought in your mind.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of hard work. I mean, you really have to bust your ass to go do it all the time. I have a lot of respect for the bands that are out there all the time. Bands like Against Me and you know, Two Gallants and Mice of Bear, those kind of bands that are just always out on tour. It's like, and the Blood Brothers too. I mean,
yeah,
they're kind of cutting it back a little now, but yeah, it's a lot of work.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean,
hard to do.
Yeah. Now, do you like doing like the sort of festival sort of things, like South by Southwest? Like, have you done that? Have you done South by Southwest before?
I've never done South by Southwest. I've done CMJ.
Oh, right on.
But yeah, I mean, I'm probably gonna really like it. I like hanging out in Texas a lot more than New York. So, I mainly just because if you've got 300 bands in an area and there's nowhere to park and
yeah,
you know, super crowded, and I don't know. I mean, I haven't been to South by Southwest. Is it pretty fun?
I haven't been yet either. I think this year might be my first year going. So.
Oh really?
Yeah. So.
Where do you live?
I'm in Los Angeles right now. So.
Oh, you are.
Yeah. Cool. So yeah, I think I'm gonna check out there.
You're just doing freelance writing stuff, or?
Yeah, I've done stuff for Scratch for a while, so. Just always kind of, I just kind of pick and choose stuff that bands I like and whatnot. So.
Awesome, man.
But kind of like backtracking. But I was gonna ask, like, when did you start playing music in the first place, and like, what was maybe like your influence just starting music in the first place?
My older brother played guitar, and a lot of his friends were into it, and I mean that's where I got started, and then it. You know, it obviously went down the chain from me to Cody. So we all got involved. My older brother's in a band called Slender Means.
Yeah.
Here in Seattle, and they're really amazing. I'm playing with them next week for my CD release show here in Seattle.
That's cool. That's like a Crocodile Cafe or something, right?
Yeah, the Croc.
Yeah.
And it's a really great place to do shows, and I'm looking forward to playing with those guys. They're amazing. But yeah, I mean, he had a big influence on me. My uncle David played music as well, and you know, would be like, would come over and play Bob Dylan songs or Beatles songs for us. And when I was a younger kid, I always just thought it was, you know, he was the coolest member of the family. So I don't know. I really started getting into it when I moved here from Texas. I was just kind of alienated from all my friends. I moved when I was in high school, and so, you know, not knowing anybody, and I was just kind of starting to play music and really just kind of dove headfirst into it and had lots of time on my hands, so.
Yeah. What's it like in Seattle now? Like, is it, like, really supportive as far as playing music and such, and there's, like, a scene that you kind of see around there?
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of cool people doing cool things, and yeah, I mean, I feel you know, there's a definite group of people here that support me and help me to keep doing what I'm doing, and you know, especially just now being a part of the Barsook family. It's like there's just so many cool bands that live in this area that are on the label, and the label is like 10 minutes from my house.
That's cool.
So I get to go over there and hang out all the time. It's really nice. I mean, nothing against Second Nature. I loved working with Dan a lot. I mean, it was really great working with him. But it's just harder when you're, you know, they're in Kansas City and I'm here. And
yeah.
You can't get together during the day to just, you know, talk about stuff.
Yeah.
It makes it that much more fun, I guess, when you can interact in person too.
Yeah. And then, is there any, like, local, I mean, maybe just on the label or as well just in the city, like, favorite bands of yours they're friends with or like playing with?
What's that? You were kind of breaking up. What's the last part of the question?
I was just asking, like any local favorites as far as maybe on the label or just in general that you like going to see locally?
Yeah, well, I think I mentioned Jessie Sykes in the Sweet Hereafter. She's got a band, and they're on Barsook. She's one of my favorites here locally. She's a really great songwriter. And Slender Means, who I also mentioned, Crystal Skulls, Minus the Bear, the Blood Brothers, Pretty Girls Make Graves. There's so many. I have so many cool friends that are doing such amazing music. You know, it's kind of crazy. crazy when I think about it. I don't get out to shows as much as I probably should. I think that's kind of the... Who else? I mean, you know, there's Not a Surf is really great.
Yeah.
John Vanderslice. I guess he's not from up here, but...
Yeah.
I mean, he's from San Francisco, but... Yeah, there's just a ton of bands doing really cool stuff, and I know I'm forgetting somebody important, but... You like a lot of those bands too?
I've heard a lot of those, so that's cool. I used to actually live up, or kind of by there. I used to live in Portland, almost 10 years ago. So I, you know, knew a lot of like kind of local bands. That was kind of back when like the Andy Warhols and like Heat Miser and stuff were all like kind of popular. But yeah,
there's a comp that just came out. I saw like Two Elliot from Portland or something. There's like a bunch of like Thermals and a bunch of like local staples down in Portland were involved with it. Have you heard of that thing?
Yeah. I just read something about it. I haven't heard it yet, but I read something about it the other day.
Yeah, I saw something on an online scene about it.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like it's cool, like, as far as Northwest, there's always, like, a lot of bands, and they support each other. It's kind of weird here, like, in L.A., because it's, like, L.A., people are, like, more competitive, it seems, but, like, up there, it seemed more like people just got along and, like, helped each other.
I mean, there's always an element of competition, and, like, you know, people's egos get in the way, and that seems to be more involved with the booking agents, though. Like, the bands, like, I mean, everybody's really friendly, and, like, you know, I think there's generally an attitude that, you know, somebody else's success doesn't take away from yours.
Yeah.
It's like the more, you know, if we can help each other out, if we can all be successful together, you know, and like help each other's, you know, bands grow and have more people come out to shows and that, like, it's not this, you know, because someone else is succeeding, then we, oh man, that means we'll never do it because they're taking up all the room. It's kind of, I think that's a shitty view that a lot of cities do have and people in bands have, but
yeah.
I don't know. I guess I'm really lucky because I've got a lot of, I've just been doing it here for a long time. I've got a lot of friends in bands, you know, friends that are, I think, really talented and doing cool stuff.
Right on. And then, I guess just lastly, I was going to ask, you already mentioned, like, you wanted to do some touring and stuff this year, but just kind of what your plans are this year or just in future plans.
Yeah, I'm going to, after this first leg of touring, I'm probably going to just kind of see what kind of support offers I get and, you know, hopefully do the country one or two more times this year and see how things go with the record. I think it's really going to, you know, depend on how things go once the record comes out and after this first leg of touring. I think if things are going really well, then there'll be more touring, and if they're just going kind of decently well, then then I'll probably, you know, not be out quite as much, but I'm definitely planning to hit the U.S. at least, you know, the full U.S. twice this year.
Right on. And any more plans of, like, recording or maybe putting out the B-side stuff?
Not right now. There's, I think, you know, with this one just coming out, I'm still just writing. I'm probably at least a year before I'm, you know, back in the studio, but you never know. I mean, maybe by this fall, like, I have 5 or 6 songs that I'm working on right now that are pretty good, rough ideas, so.
Yeah.
You just never know. You know, hopefully I'll have, you know, a good portion of a new record put together by the end of this year, by the fall.
Right on. And then, I guess... All right, so that was, that's the end of the interview. Sorry, it's like not that great of quality, but I thought a lot of it had to get cut out for the very short space in the South by Southwest guide, but so you all can hear the little extra stuff that's missing in the interview. When you pick it up, Scratch Magazine, South by Southwest guide, it's free. Everybody go check it out. Be sure to check out Rocky. If you head over to our myspace.com/strobe-radio, there's all links to his pages, and you can see where he's going to be playing at South by Southwest if any of you guys are headed out there this year. I guess I'm going to play another track from him and round out the rest of this hour. Thanks everybody for listening. This is going to be, it's recorded, so it'll be up for listening any other time later as well. Alright, and here we go.
Come along with me now. cause there are things I've been dying to tell you. The best of the worst things that you never needed to know. This is the kind of comedy when no one's laughing, cause it's hard to. I'm a punchline who's punch drunk with my fist in a broken ear. There's a party nearby I can hear. Laughter in the distance and it all comes clear. Sounds too simple, love is the only answer. Everything else is just a train wreck. I'm gonna stay up all night, every night for the rest of my life, till the lines around my eyes grow deeper and more defined. Might ask me, aren't you dead inside and so damn tired? I'll say I have no idea.